Our lesson this evening is going to be taken from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to take our lesson from two sections of Scripture that are separated by the great and well-known parable of the sower, or parable of the soils, as some prefer to call it. This is a kind of introduction to the sort of teaching that Jesus is going to begin to do, and which will be recorded for us through a section of the Gospel of Mark. A great many books have been written about the parables of Jesus. One of the earliest books I was encouraged to read by my mentor and dear friend Ted McElroy was a book by French. Is his name, Richard Trench, concerning all of the major parables of Jesus. And I read that book, and I have that book in my library. It's one of the most valuable of the books I have on the subject of the parables. And it's no wonder that many books have been written about the parables, because the parables of Jesus contain such important and vital information about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I personally am a word picture person. If you present me with pages of text and hours of lecture, I very likely am not going to remember a great deal of what has been presented. But if you present me with an illustrative word picture, then more likely than not, I am going to remember a great deal more information than I would otherwise have remembered. Jesus was a word picture person. Not in that he had to have a word picture to understand, but that he was a presenter of word pictures. And word pictures are more easily remembered, and the lessons of them more likely to be effective in our lives than if we just present words. So Jesus would say, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And he would say that to teach his disciples about God's care and concern for his people. Or he would say, ye are the light of the world. A word picture. But a word picture which would emphasize to his disciples the importance of their influence in the world in which they lived. Word pictures. And parables are word pictures. But our thoughts will begin tonight with this. There is in our text, and I want to read the text again, if I may, to give emphasis to the things that are said, but there is in our text, as it begins, an important change of venue. He began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now to verse 10. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? So the change of venue. He is now teaching by the seaside. Previously, he has been welcome in the synagogue at Capernaum, and there he taught. But you remember that opposition was aroused against him by the leaders of the Jewish religious people. And so now he leaves the synagogue, goes outdoors to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where multitudes of people gather to hear him teach. On this occasion, his pulpit is a little boat. I can just imagine the situation. He is being thronged by people as he walks along, and he begins to teach and to talk to them. But only those people who are nearest to him are going to be able to hear him, because here he is in the midst of this crowded group of people. And so in order to be heard by more people, he gets into a little boat and puts out from the shore just a little way and teaches the people. One of the things that I thought as I was putting together the lesson for tonight is that we have become so building conscious. And the gospel was never intended to be confined to a building. And yet, we are building conscious. You have to come here to hear me preach, so to speak. Well, Jesus, yes, he taught in the synagogue, but he was willing to go outside of the synagogue where people were to teach and to preach them there, to them there. Now, Mark reminds us in verse 2 of our text, that he taught them many things by parables. One of the first questions which might occur to some is, what exactly is a parable? Now, many of you know the same definition for parable that I know. I learned this definition when I was a very young person, and I continue to believe that it is probably as good a definition as you're going to hear. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable actually is a comparison. It's a figure of speech that compares two things. It compares something that is known, with which people are familiar, to that which is unknown, in order for people to understand some things about the unknown thing. So Jesus would say, a farmer went out into his field to plant seeds. That's the beginning of the parable of the sower. But he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the relatively unknown thing. That's the thing that he has got to teach. That's the thing that he's got to help people understand. Because, by the way, folks, the people of his day had a very different understanding of the kingdom from that which was the real understanding that he needed to convey to them. The people of that day believed that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, was going to be an earthly kingdom. There would be an earthly king, and that they would be able to rebel against Rome and put Rome away from them and continue to be as they were in the days of David. With that kind of thinking in their minds, Jesus has got a serious difficulty, and that's to convey to these people that no, that really isn't what the kingdom of God is all about. And in order to do that, he has to teach them from things they understand, lessons about the thing that they really do not know or understand. That is, how is the kingdom to be understood? How is the kingdom to be constituted? What is the nature of the kingdom? All of these things. He would suggest to them in many ways by parables and word pictures. But you see, the disciples didn't get to look at things from our perspective. Historically, we have a better look at things than they did. And so they wanted to know, why is it that you're teaching in parables? Over in Matthew's account of this same text, in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 10, why speakest thou to them in parables? That's the question his disciples asked. Why are you doing that? Well, and maybe this section of Scripture from which the answer comes is one of the most difficult in all of the Bible, both in Isaiah's account of it and in the accounts in the New Testament. And I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to make it all that simple for us tonight. But part of the answer to the question, why are you teaching in parables, is found in verse 9 of chapter 4 of Mark. He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now stop and think about that for just a minute. He's got all these people gathered around him. He's been preaching to them. He's been teaching them from the little boat. And very likely all of the people in that crowd had ears. Two of them. And most likely all of the people who were in that crowd of people actually heard words. In other words, the physical sense of hearing was operative. They heard what he said. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What in the world are you talking about, Lord? All of these people have got ears. Oh, wait just a minute. They all have ears to hear, but are they all hearing really? Are their ears attuned to spiritual things and spiritual truths? There's the question. And doubtless, there were some in that crowd of folks who heard the words, but who had not one inkling of what they meant. Because they were not there, really, to hear truths from this great teacher. They were there, many of them, out of curiosity, I'm sure. But there were some in the crowd that were there as his enemies. Nothing he would say would impress them. And they would not understand the comparison of the parable of the sower to the kingdom of God. It wouldn't make any difference to them. But then Jesus goes on to explain this a little bit more in verses 11 and 12 of our text. I want to read this to you. He said unto them, unto you, his disciples, unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear, not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. As I read these two verses, the first thing that occurs to me is that Jesus assures the disciples that they're going to be able to understand. These things that are spoken, he describes as a mystery. You're going to be able to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, that word mystery needs a little bit of explaining. You know, I'm a great fan of Agatha Christie, the writer whose books, many of them, are mystery stories. And my dad introduced me to these kinds of mysteries, Agatha Christie and others, as a young man. He would read these books and then he'd hand them to me and say, read this, son, it's interesting. So I read mysteries. And we remember, many of us who are as old as I am, or as old as Clovis, we remember radio. I noticed a commercial today that was so interesting. An older man comes up to a Christmas tree and he looks at an ornament on the tree and says, what in the world? He's talking to a little granddaughter, I would assume. What is this? It's an MP3 player. And then she looks at a little ornament that's a radio and says, but what is this? And he says, it's an RADIO. Well, Clovis and I remember Inner Sanctum Mysteries, right, Clovis? And I bet Jess remembers them too. Don't acknowledge it, Jess. Just sit there like a bump on a pew. Inner Sanctum Mystery. The squeaking door. Remember the squeaking door? Well, that's one kind of mystery. But the mystery to which Jesus refers is not that kind of mystery. Jesus refers to those things that are hidden and which can only be understood with some kind of key. And so, He's saying to the disciples, you'll be able to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you the key. He didn't say that in so many words, but he does that in just a minute. But then he goes on to explain to them, you are my followers. You already are understanding that following me is going to be a different kind of experience from anything you've ever had, and following me is going to make you different. But, you know, the disciples may be scratching their heads about now, wondering, well, okay, fine. But why is it that some can understand and some believe and others do not understand and will not believe? Well, then, of course, Jesus answers that question by noting that there are those people who have not accepted him, do not follow him, And those people are not going to be able to understand the great lessons of the parables. Now, let me pause long enough to catch my breath here and just say that Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And as such, only an intimate relationship with Him would permit one to understand the great lessons of the parables. So here are the disciples, and they're with Him constantly now in this course of time. And in the teaching of Jesus, they're going to be exposed to a great many things, but He's going to help them to understand things they need to understand about the kingdom of God, and their ears are attuned to spiritual things so they can understand. And they have this intimate relationship with the Lord. But then, on the other hand, there are people whose hearts are full of prejudice and tradition and ego. And these are such strong and blinding factors. People whose eyes are blinded by prejudice, whose hearts are full of themselves, who have been accustomed for years to traditional things and who believe that tradition is doctrine, these people are not going to understand the parables. They're not going to be able to understand because they cannot hear properly. They hear the words, but the words make no impression because their hearts have been so closed. Their hearts are literally impenetrable because of their prejudices and their traditions and their ego and their pride. And what we want, you and I, is to find good, sincere, open hearts. What we want to find is teachable hearts, hearts that are not closed by these things which we've mentioned. But I'll tell you what, folks, the fact is that a great many people then and now have closed their hearts by these very things which I've mentioned, prejudice and tradition and pride and ego. And they cannot, they will not understand. They hear the words, but they cannot understand. I've often asked, and often by members of the Lord's church, how is it that someone can read Mark 16:16 or Acts 2:38 and not understand the necessity of baptism? And really the only answer that I know is their hearts are closed, their minds are closed, their eyes are closed by their prejudices, by their traditions, and by their pride. To say I understand the necessity, they would have to humble themselves. And they're not willing to do that. I suggest to you that while you and I may think that these things are abundantly clear and plain, there are folks who do not see these things, do not understand these things, for the very reasons that the people in Jesus' own day could not and did not understand the things that He told them about the kingdom of God using parables to do so. But the issue here is so important. It's a life and death issue. Look at the last part of verse 12. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. The issue here is conversion and the forgiveness of sins. There is not a greater issue than that in our lives. And so what Jesus is trying to do is convey things concerning the kingdom which involve conversion and the forgiveness of sins. But these people whose hearts are so closed, and by the way, it was a choice they made. Hearts are closed by their prejudices and traditions and such, are not going to understand, and they're not going to be converted, and their sins are not going to be forgiven. Listen, God does not want a single individual to be lost in eternity. Not a single individual. And yet the teaching of the Bible is that many will be lost. You remember in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching in the Great Sermon on the Mount, and He talks about the two ways, the broad way and the wide gate, and it leads to destruction. And he says, many there be that go in thereat. The way to destruction. Not God's will, but that's the way it's going to be. Because hearts and minds are blinded and closed. Now, as we come to the conclusion of these thoughts, I told you that Jesus would give them the key. In the study of parables, we have got to search for meanings. Now, in verse 13, and I agree, I admit that the language is somewhat obscure, and yet I believe that the meaning is clear. In verse 13, he says, "Know ye not this parable?" He's just talked to them about the parable of the sword. And then he says, "How then will you know all parables?" If you don't understand this, how are you going to understand the parable? So what he does is he explains the meaning of the parable. Now, I would suggest to you that the parable of the sower and its explanation became the key to the understanding of the other parables and word pictures of Jesus. So you use this parable and how he explains it, and you're able to understand how you can see this earthly story and yet get a heavenly meaning. And that's exactly the point of Jesus here. Yes, what I've just told you is an earthly story. But look beyond the earthly story to the heavenly meaning. And he gives that to them in the verses which follow. I love the parables of Jesus. His parables arrest my attention, as they no doubt did the attention of the people who were thronged on the seashore by the Sea of Galilee. I would urge tonight that you and I read and study the parables of Jesus, that we consider them, that we reflect on them, that we think about them, that we seek their meanings, and that we apply their meanings in our lives. They may be stories that go back to a culture far different from ours, but they are nevertheless stories which, because of our own intelligence and our educations, we can understand. I understand about a farmer that goes out to plant seeds, don't you? And I understand that all of the seed is not going to fall into good ground. Some of it's going to fall on a hard-packed side of the field, and others will fall into an area that doesn't have a great depth of soil. Others will fall into an area of soil that is just impregnated with the seeds of weeds, and then many and much of the seeds going to fall into good ground. I understand all about that, don't you? I wasn't raised on a farm, so I know about that kind of thing, and you do too. So the parables of Jesus are understandable, but we need to think about them and apply the key that is in the parable here and its explanation by the Lord as we seek for the meaning in the rest of the parables of Jesus. Parables of Jesus are not only interesting, and not only do they arrest my attention, I'll use this expression, they are fun to consider. And they are so exciting in their lessons. I commend to you the parables of Jesus. We're going to sing the song which David announced a while ago now. And if there are those in the assembly with whom we can help with particular needs in your spiritual life, we want to make that offer to you. To Christian people who are here who might need our prayers, intercessory prayers to God in their behalf, we'd be glad to pray with you. If there are folks here who need to be baptized into Christ as two precious souls did on the past Wednesday night, and we want to help you do that. But we need to know that. We were not able to read minds. So you have to let us know, this is the need that I have, and I'd like you to help me with it. If you need help, we want to do that. And you can come right now as we stand together and as we sing.